There is a real Detroit feel to the current season of the AMC series Mad Men. Now, over past seasons on Mad Men, Don Draper and his team at Sterling Cooper Draper Price have been involved in ad campaigns for everything from Lucky Strike to Hilton Hotels, Dow Chemical to Heinz Mustard and Maidenform, and last season, Jaguar, or Jaguar, as you will. This season, Don and Roger and crew have snagged GM and Chevrolet. And you can bet GM execs are watching closely, even though the automaker had absolutely no part in developing this storyline. But we wondered, will GM and Chevy possibly get a lift from these episodes? Joining us now is Michael Bernacki, who's the marketing professor at the University of Detroit Mercy. Hi, Mike. Good to have you back.
Good afternoon. Nice to be back.
So Jaguar was a very, very big part of last season with, I read, a 96.27% lift in content consumption. What does content consumption mean? And was that something that had them smiling at Jaguar?
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, there's a difference between sales talk and sales verbiage and advertising. And when we talk about the notion of content here, we mean the buzz that surrounds the particular vehicle and how, of course, that increase. And it's really a remarkable push. I mean, you get those kinds of pushes for things like Super Bowl advertising this year. There was a lot of buzz regarding what happened during that time period. And so we find it, you know, from time to time. But to get it when you don't plant it, when it's not part of what you do, is extraordinary. And so the, if you will, the name, the brand name Jaguar, you know, attached to conversation is just remarkable. And they have nothing but smiles, or should have nothing but smiles, or had smiles on their face.
Even though Jaguar did not have the best image in that show. Anyone, if you watched last season, you know that one character tried to kill himself in a Jaguar, but he couldn't because the car wouldn't start.
It certainly pointed out the failing, you know, of the vehicle at that time. I mean, there's always a lot of problems, and the fact that Mad Men would not exactly paint any particular brand in a great light, I mean, is to be expected. But, you know, when you're discussing this, when it becomes part of your reality, you either have to turn your back and on it and say, you know, this is enough and this isn't us, and be haughty and be stiff and stodgy about it, or you have to find a way to embrace it and to use it. Jaguar decided they were not going to advantage themselves with this wonderful increased buzz.
They did not advantage themselves.
And, you know, they could have. I mean, you can take a look at a bad situation and talk about the changes. You can use humor with it, which is always a good way to diffuse problems. You know, you can build your present story. I mean, there's a lot of ways to be effective with it. But to just kind of kick it, you know, under the rug, just kick that can out of the way and forget about it as though it was something that was life-threatening, please. I would humbly say this was a missed opportunity, and they certainly did miss it.
I have to, and we, you know, it's worth reminding everyone, if you don't watch Mad Men, it's noted for its authentic delivery of what was going on in the 60s. And in this instance, it's 1968. Don Draper and his team are designing an ad campaign, as it turns out, not for the Camaro, not for the Corvette, but for the Vega, which is on a lot of lists as probably the worst car of all time, which, of course, Don and the gang have no way of knowing. You got to think, Mike Bernacki, you got folks at the Rensen saying, really, must we?
Well, I am sure that there is a lot of discussion regarding what is going to happen here and how it's going to happen. And as they're trying to strategize and decide, you know, what's going to go on here, they can certainly use the Jaguar experience to their benefit and see what happened there, a missed opportunity. And, you know, there is no doubt about it. Let's face it, that poor vehicle, which was a Chevy problem for quite some time, is long gone, and it's out of the way, and it's time to do something else. And the Vega, we all know, the Vega is one of the worst cars to ever come out of the U.S., much less out of GM's stock, if you will. Having said that, there are a lot of ways that this can be handled. And while nobody's called me from Chevy, from GM, and asked for advice, they can spin this to their advantage. And that's by rolling with a punch, by coming up with storylines that, you know, attach to that day and age. Because really, you know, that situation of two small agencies combining to land the big fish is not much different today. It's more difficult to do, but it's still in vogue. And so the storyline of 1968 has some application today as General Motors goes forward. So they just have to develop a plan, a strategy to advantage themselves of this buzz. And boy, it is going to grow. There is no doubt about it.
And it's interesting. You touched on the merging of the two small agencies. That's exactly, if you watch the show, that's what Don had to do, is merge with the rival firm that Peggy works for to get that Chevy account. And then turns out that's what happened in the 60s. There was a joint venture called Commonwealth that came together to take on the big guys like Campbell Ewald.
Yeah, and of course, as it turned out, of course, as you know, Campbell Ewald was spun out, you know, as a result. So what goes around on this kind of storyline, you know, comes around, and it's the way it is. And the reason, of course, that happens is because everybody loves the creativity, the free and easiness of these small agencies as they have wonderful ideas. Not many of them really wind up with clients, but eventually, of course, some of them succeed. And the idea is to be ready for this success. As a matter of fact, you know, they can even use the fact that, yes, Campbell Ewald was let go as this most recent go-around, spin-around, but what the advantages have been as a result. So they can play this, if you will, both sides, from the success of General Motors past, and by the way, they're in one of their most successful spins right now. My gosh, could they want it to be any better? Should they be threatened by the Vega? Please. By 1968? Come on! Not at all.
Well, Matthew Weiner certainly sticking with that realism of what happened in 1968, and we'll all be watching as Mad Men unfolds with the Chevy Vega as a co-star.
It's an extraordinary story. And what I have to say to GM is, come on, folks, get in there, work this to your advantage, keep smiling, be grateful of the buzz, and maybe encourage it the best that you can, and you can be a victor, not a loser in this.
Michael Bernacki, marketing professor at the University of Detroit Mercy. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks for having me. I look forward for our next spin around the dance floor.